you. Amen. And when you learn that, I told my daughter the other day, the less people know, the better you are. But the more people know that has the same like-minded spirit of you, the better you are. You got to learn your circle. Amen. All right, I'm done. I'm not preaching already. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Give God some praise in this place. Amen. You better give Him some praise in this place. What an awesome and mighty God we serve. I thank God for the praise team. Thank God for Lady Thomas. Real quick, she be in the spirit up here. Y'all don't even know it. On my way to church, I'm gonna tell you how much she in the spirit. On my way to church, I was listening to my pastor preach this morning, and he was talking about the name of Jesus. And he said this. He said, there are no atheists in the foxhole. Y'all missed that, amen. She said, she ain't heard this talking. She went to my church this morning. She didn't hear it. And he said, she said, people that don't even know him call on his name when they need something. He said, ain't no atheists in the foxhole. I mean, when life hitting you, something in you just scream Jesus. Something in you just say, you don't even know, you don't even believe it, don't even know why. So understand how much power is in his name. There's power in the name of Jesus, y'all. That's what believers have to use his name, amen. Can we give God one more shout of praise? One more hand clap. One more thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. Thank you all for being here today for praise and worship. I'm excited. Y'all excited?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Y'all ready for the word?
Yeah.
I'm excited. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for our children. Amen. Miracle gonna take the babies. You got the youngins today. Miracle. Unique. Amen. 11 and under crew. Pray for her. Amen. She looking at me like, Lord, Daddy, I don't know. I got the baby. But pray God bless her. Amen. In the name of Jesus. She's an awesome young teacher, amen. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 28. We almost done with this series. Next week, I'm wrapping it up, amen. I don't know if I've ever been in a series this long, amen. But God is doing something. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 4 through 6. All who are able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's word. 11 and under, y'all can slide over to Children's Church. 28, verses 4 through 6. And it reads as follows. The Philistines assembled and camped in Shunem. Saul also assembled the whole Israelite army, and they camped at Gibeah. When Saul looked at the Philistine army, he was very afraid and terrified. He prayed to the Lord, but the Lord didn't answer him through dreams, through the Urim, or prophets. Today's message in GPS is end of the road. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So tell your neighbor, today, end of the road. Amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's been once said this, that when you're born, you look like your parents. But when you die, you look like your choices.
Yeah.
Man.
That's it. Right there.
As we surrender ourselves to the direction of the God positioning system, make no mistake that one day the road must come to an end. The Bible is clear on this. It says we are all appointed to die. Is what the Bible says. That we all have a date with death. Not trying to scare you, but I got to be real. Unless Jesus cracked that sky, so that we all have to come across. But it says after death comes the judgment. So it's my job as pastor to make sure everybody in this place or watching online is prepared for every aspect of the journey of life from now to the end.
Yeah.
And in your personal time, you got to read. I'm covering three chapters today. I've been covering a lot of chapters, y'all. So 28 to 31 built the context of where we're at in the book of 1 Samuel. And the way these chapters set up, I said, dang, I'm almost preaching two different sermons. So I'm going to have to bring it up, amen, but that's just the way the chapters are set up. But where did we leave off for those who might not have been here? Quick recap, not much, but that Saul and David's beef finally has came to an end.
Yeah.
Yes, came to a resolution. Saul has realized the pursuit of David is two things. The first thing he realized, the pursuit of David is sin. Amen.
Come on.
Yeah, he said, look, I have sinned, David. I'm sorry. I've been trying to catch you. Forgive me, my son. Saul finally realized that it was sin. The second thing that he realized, watch this, that chasing David was foolish.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second thing he realized, that it was foolish. That chasing David was equivalent to chasing the wind.
Come on.
Yeah, that's what it was equivalent to, chasing the wind. Why? Because God got David, so Saul couldn't get to David. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah. I know it's early in the message, amen, but high five your neighbor and tell him God kept me. Can you do that real quick? Tell him God kept me. Saul can't get to David because because God got David. Amen. So God has the ability to keep people. Amen. I love that. The doctor may have gave you bad news, but God kept me. Amen. The situationship should have took me out, but God kept me. Amen. The bankruptcy took everything, but God kept me. Amen. They put dirt on my name, but God kept me. Amen. The enemy tried to take my life, but God kept me. The accident should have killed me, but God kept me. I can't let a day go by without praising his name, giving him the honor and glory, all because of the simple fact he kept me. Our God is a keeper, y'all. Saul tried every trick in the book. He tried every way he could play it. Be as sneaky as he can. And no matter what he did, God even caused a deep sleep to fall on him. When God got you, can't nobody get to you. Amen. Better know that. Amen. So as I read earlier, the Philistines have gathered together an army to fight Israel. So Saul quite naturally assembles all of Israel ready for battle. But the Bible says Saul became what? Terrified at the sight of the Philistine army. God has given Israel plenty of victories over the Philistines. Amen. But Saul, watch, he doesn't have Samuel because Samuel is dead. He's a prophet. He don't have David, who was the one leading his battles that was giving him victory. So the people he had with him that had God are no longer with him. So quite naturally, he's afraid. Look at this, y'all. 28, 6 and 7, 8 clause. He prayed to the Lord, but the Lord didn't answer him through dreams. The Urim or the prophets. Saul told his officers, find me a woman who conjures up the dead. And I'll go to her and ask her for her services. Amen. See, I know that kind of stuff was in the Bible, did y'all? Amen. Look at that. Saul can't get in contact with God. The king of Israel, the leader of the army, has no connection with God. He tried praying for himself, no answer.
Yeah.
He was hoping that someone got a dream. Ain't no dreams. He tried to use the Urim, which was part of the ephod, the priestly garments. Ain't no oracles coming from that. Amen. He's looking for a prophet. The prophet ain't heard a word. Nobody is hearing anything. So what is happening? The line is busy and God isn't answering Saul. What happens when God takes the phone off the hook on your life?
Oh my God.
Come on. What happens when God takes the phone off the hook? For those that are looking at me crazy, young folk don't know anything about this, but we had house phones growing up.
Yeah.
And if somebody kept calling and playing on your phone and getting on your nerves, all you did was simply take the phone off the hook and a busy signal came and couldn't nobody get through. Saul was using all kind of ways to pray and he can't get through with God. Young folk, it's the equivalent of do not disturb. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's the equivalent of do not disturb. That no matter who's trying to get in contact with you, they can't get through. And Saul can't get through to God. But when we look at his life, y'all, what happened to him? He disobeyed the commandment of God to destroy the Amalekites, right? He tried to murder David himself. He tried to set up other people to do it. He killed the priest of the Lord. Now he's in need of God, and God ain't answering him. Be careful what you do, because going to come a time and a place you're going to need God. You're going to need his wisdom. You're going to need his instruction. You're going to need his grace. You're going to need his mercy. You're going to need his forgiveness. Saul and did all his dirt. Now he needs God, and God ain't saying nothing.
Quiet.
So make no mistake, church, our sin separates us from God.
It's real.
Make no mistake about it, amen.
Real.
That in fact, that we can walk in so much rebellion, get in such a deep walk of rebellion, that God is actually turning away from us.
Oh, my God.
Woo. Ain't that deep? See, Jesus came that he covered all humanity's sin, right? Look at this. Jesus came and he covered all of our sin on that cross. And what did Jesus say? Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus had so much of our sins on him, he couldn't feel the presence of his Father. So sin separates us from God. So Saul, so jacked up, he said, find me a woman who can conjure up the dead. I asked her for her services. Watch this. God gave me this. When you can't find God, you have to forge God. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Wow. Not doing that.
Ooh. When you can't find God, you got to forge God. Amen. When the anointing isn't there, my God, you got to depend on alternate avenues. That's why so many false teachers and false prophets running wild, because people are drawn to performances. Saul can't get in contact with God. He says, I'm going to go find me a woman who can consult the dead. Then I'm going to come back with a word. How you getting the dead word? He's coming back. Says, look here, find me a woman. So Saul says, look here, I got to go disguise myself to go find this woman. He goes by night to go see her. She's a witch, amen. Y'all don't even figure it out yet. She's a witch. She speaks to dead spirits. So Saul dresses himself up to go find her. He said, look, I got to rely on her, amen, to get a word to heaven, amen. So since God won't speak to me, I'm going to dress up. I'm going to hit Star 6-7, amen. He said, I'm going to hit Star 6-7. I'm going to come private, amen. I need a word from God. He said, God's going to give it to me. I'm going to go in private and undercover and get it from this woman. God's going to answer me today. I need to know what to do, so I'm going to get it. So he goes to this woman to consult her about dead people. And the woman says this. Now, you know, Saul outlawed all psychics and mediums out of here. Why are you trying to get me killed? Saul has got rid of every person that practices occult activity out the kingdom. All the witches and all the people that do these spirits have been kicked out. But now Saul goes to her for advice. What does that mean? Sin will have you running back to where you once got rid of. Amen. That's how we preach today. Amen. That sin so messed up that you once got rid of some stuff, it'll have you running back to it. Amen. Something you got rid of that you know it wasn't no good. Knew it was meant to destroy you. Knew it was meant to kill you and keep you down. And somehow, someway, you got so off track, you running back to the very thing the enemy said to destroy you. Saul is saying, look here, I got to go back to the witches I kicked out. So the woman says, who do you want me to conjure up? Saul says, look here, conjure up Samuel for me. The woman gets upset because she knows it's Saul. Why did you do this? Why are you doing this? Saul says, I swear by the God, I'm not going to kill you. Just get Samuel for me. Please, go get Samuel. But the woman does it. She goes and does whatever. She does a little magic or whatever she's doing. And she says, I see a God coming out of the ground. Little G, God. Samuel's not God. Little G, amen. That you said it, amen. Little G, God coming out the ground. And he got on a robe. So Saul gets excited. He said, oh my God, I see the robe. I see the glory. I see the anointing falling. She got Samuel for me. God going to speak to me today. One way or another, I'm going to get his instruction. She literally raises Samuel from the dead. Look at what he says. Verse 15 and 16 of 28. Samuel asked Saul, why did you disturb me by conjuring me up? Saul answered, I'm in serious trouble. Yeah. The Philistines are at war with me, and God has turned against me and doesn't answer me anymore, either by prophets or in dreams. So I've called on you to tell me what to do. Samuel said, why are you asking me when the Lord has turned against you and become your enemy? Yeah. Ooh. On this road to GPS, sometimes you will find yourself on a dead end.
Come on.
Sometimes on this road, if you're not traveling the right roads and paying attention to directions and signs, you will end up on a dead end.
Help us.
See, that's a principle we can't overlook with Saul, is that his sin has clogged up the whole pipeline. Amen. That he had to go to Samuel. He had to go to a witch to get her to lift up Samuel from the dead because he can't hear from God and the nation can't hear from God. So because of one man's disobedience, hear me clear, a whole nation can't get a word from God. Because one man's disobedience, a prophet can't get a prophecy. Because one man's disobedience, a dreamer can't get a dream. Because one man's disobedience, prayers are not getting answered. And you see how deep this is? The king has disrespected God, and he said, look here, God has made you into an enemy. What trips me out is that Samuel said, why'd you disturb me?
Come on.
He did.
Come on.
But he said, why you disturb me? If you disturb me, that means I had peace where I was at. Hear me. If you disturb me, I had peace where I was at. So Samuel's dead and got peace. Why, Pastor? Because he died doing the will of the Lord.
Come on.
Amen. Try to help somebody, amen. That he died in God's will. So if I die in God's will, I got peace at the end of the day when my heart stopped beating. I got peace where I'm going. Saul is on earth. He's a wreck. He's nervous. He got fear, anxiety. He's tripping. He's experiencing basically hell on earth. What do you mean? He's separated from God.
Yeah.
One thing about this, dog, if the enemy comes after you, you better understand that he's coming to disconnect you from God. Yeah. And Saul can't even realize what has happened because of the disobedience. Amen. He can't even realize how much he's messed up and how far off track he's gotten. He tells, look here. I need you to go and get a word from me, Samuel. I need you to go help me out. I need you to speak to me. And he said, look here, just like I told you way back when, God told the kingdom from you.
Yeah.
He gave it to David. Yeah. Nothing I can do. I actually cried for you for about 20 years. It actually broke my heart that you are so anointed. I actually wanted you to be the first king of Israel. You're the first person I anointed. I wanted you to be successful. I wanted you to prosper. But because of your disobedience, God, it took all that away from you. But one thing Samuel said that tripped me out, y'all. He said you became an enemy. God has became your enemy. Woo. God has became your enemy. One thing about my enemy is this. Watch this. If I got an enemy, I can tell God about it. If I got an enemy, I can always go to God about it. Yeah. One thing, if my enemy is my enemy, if I'm the one that's tripping, I still can go to God about it. Amen. If my enemy is the devil, I can go to God about it. If my enemy is a demon, I can ask God about it. But if my enemy is God, who can I go to help me if God is my enemy? Who gonna protect me from God? Who gonna help me against God? So Saul is in an unwinnable position. Amen. Look at verse 18 and 19. The Lord is doing this to you today because you didn't listen to him or unleash his burning anger on Amalek. For the same reason, the Lord will hand you and Israel over to the Philistines. Tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. And the Lord's hand will hand Israel's army over to the Philistines. My God. Samuel reminds Saul real quick, just in case you got amnesia. Yeah. Just in case you forgot what didn't happen in the past. Amen. Let me help you. God's word was on the line. He told Moses to write it down and Joshua that he gonna wreak havoc on Amalek. He made you the first king. It was your job to handle God's enemies, and you chose not to do it. You disobeyed me in front of all of Israel and tried to make my word into a lie.
My God.
And see, one thing, so I'm not going to get into all of it in GPS. We're going to end it up next week. But I know I've been talking about David a lot. But understand this, that David, as great as he is and a man after God's own heart, I think David had more moral failures than Saul. Y'all wasn't ready for that, amen. That David had more moral failures than Saul. But David had a repentant heart. David wasn't full of pride. David messed up, confessed, and asked God to keep me and say, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Saul said, it was the people. What did you want me to do? It's the people. So understanding the heart is big, because nobody in the Bible, a person needs to be worshipped but Jesus. Amen. Yeah. The Bible is full of people, and it shows us they're good, they're bad, and they're ugly. Amen. Their failures and their victories. Why? So we can identify with people and say, well, God can use them, God can show them, use me. If God can heal them, God can use me. If God can deliver them and all their issues, he surely can do it for me. So understand how important it is to understand who God is and how he works. But Saul disobeyed God's word, put his word on the line. So your decision of disobedience is not going to just affect you, but it will affect your lineage as well. Samuel said, look, the Lord gonna hand Israel over to the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons gonna be with me. Woo! If you had 24 hours to live, just think, where would you go? What would you do? Who would you want to notify? Or would you just deny that you're really about to die? That's a song y'all learning about that, amen. 24 Hours to Live, Bates' first album, praise God. Y'all know about hip-hop. But in all seriousness, if you had 24 hours to live, can you imagine the weight on Saul? That he took tomorrow, you and your sons going to be here with me because you disobeyed God. What did his sons do? If I recall, Jonathan been trying to help. Jonathan been saying, Daddy, you tripping. Get it together. David ain't did nothing wrong. And because he couldn't look past his own anger and pride and selfishness, you're going to cause you and your sons to be deceased, y'all. So skip over to chapter 29 real quick. And David and his men are in a place called Aphek. It's in a territory with the Philistines. So David been staying with the Philistines. So David like, look, y'all been nice to me, so I'm really ready to go to war for y'all. Y'all didn't house me. Y'all didn't kept me and my men here. We about 600 deep. We appreciate it. Y'all about to go to war. We'll fight with you. So David is being loyal, unaware that the Philistines are really about to fight Israel. Amen. So the Philistine chief says, look here. He gets into an argument with a man. Say, man, David can't come with us. hey, this is the servant of Saul. Hey, he the one that rose with Saul and rose with Israel, man. He can't go with us. He might betray us and try to help Saul. So he didn't want David to go. And David could understand. He's like, why? I haven't betrayed nobody. I've been cool. I've been kind. I've been loyal to y'all. And the dudes that I know, but the chief of the Philistines don't want you to go. So you cannot go with us. And I understand, because why? If Daniel would have went with him and he saw them attacking Israel, he would have went to the side of his God. If he seen them attacking Saul and Jonathan, he would attack them too, because him and Jonathan are boys. So he said, look here, I got to go. They sent David on his way. So David goes in one direction and the army goes in another direction. Watch this. What was coming to kill Saul, God blocked David from going. Amen.
Yeah.
Woo, that's deep. What was coming to kill Saul is to you and your sons going to die. David wanted to go where death was at, amen. But God said, no, I'm going to cause confusion. I'm going to cause somebody not to like you. Quit being mad when people don't like you. I'm going to cause somebody not to like you. I'm going to cause somebody to get on your nerve. I'm going to cause somebody to do something to you just so I can block this from happening to you, amen. Everything God does has a reason to it. So he blocked David from going to war to save his life.
That's good. Wow.
So David and his men leave, y'all. They go to a place called Ziklag. And they go to Ziklag. And guess what happens? They're there. They're chilling. And the Amalekites come. They raid them. They attack them. And they burn down everything. And they take all the women and children from David's camp. Amen. Look at 1 Samuel 30:3. By the time David and his men came to the town, it had been burned down. Their wives, their sons, and daughters had been taken captive. So God turned David, watch this, away from going into battle, but led him to a place where he got attacked. And their families taken. Shout out to that GPS system broke on there, amen. God, I was willing to go to battle over here. You took me away from battle, sent me somewhere else. Not only did all our stuff get burned up and stolen, our families got stolen. We got attacked.
Wow.
Is the GPS working here? Why would I go from that place to seemingly a worse place? What do we know about David to this point? Up until this point, David has the oil and has been anointed to be king. We know that. He defeated Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. We know that. He played the harp for Saul and allowed the evil spirit to leave and put a refreshing spirit. We know that. David won countless battles. We know that. Him and Jonathan was best friends. We know that. He spared Saul's life on multiple occasions. We know that. But we know this too. He's still not the king.
Yeah. Come on.
Lucretia Church is trying to help you today. Watch this. Because some of you are wondering, Pastor, I want my breakthrough. Mm-hmm. When my breakthrough going to happen? I've been waiting. I've been praying. I've been waiting. When my breakthrough going to happen? God told me to share this. The only way to get to the breakthrough is when you allow him to break you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Everybody trying to church for today. The only way you get to the breakthrough is when you allow God to break you. Amen. That you got to get broken to get what God has for you. Amen. And David has been anointed since 15. It has the oil, but he's been going through all kind of hell and problems all through his life because God ain't gave him a kingdom yet to God makes him to God called him to be. So on the way to your extension, there will be ambiguity. Amen.
Yeah.
On the way to your covenant, there will be complications. On the way to the promise, there will be problems. Amen. On the way to holiness, there will be hardships. Amen. Just because God is with me, just because God is for me, don't mean the enemy won't try me. Amen. Amen. I mean, just because God is on my side, don't mean the devil won't show up now and then. Amen. And watch this. You got to be 35 or older to feel this. Amen. 34 and younger, y'all go ahead and goo this. Amen. Goo this. But when the enemy tripping, I dare you in your red charge voice that you got the right one, baby. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise God. You got the right one, baby. Amen. God saved me. I got the power. I got the Holy Ghost. He came. He delivered me. You got the right one. I ain't running. I ain't quitting. I'm staying on my post. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep fasting. I'm going to keep living for Jesus. I'm going to keep witnessing. I'm going to keep on doing what God's called me to do. Ain't nothing going to take me off my post.
Thank you, God.
Because if God be for me, who can be against me? The Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? If God is on my side, it don't really matter who comes up against me. So even if I go and go to a place where I'm getting attacked, things are getting taken, I'm still holding on to his unchanging hands. Because if God allowed it, it got to be a reason for it. change your mind first to God, why did this happen to me? Instead of God, what you trying to teach me? God, why did this happen to me? But God, why are you, what are you trying to grow me from this, God? What are you positioning me for? So David leaves one battle and enters the next. So David and his men, why should they have no choice but to find the women and the children, y'all? They have no choice. Their women and children have been taken. So on the way to find them, who was responsible, they see an Egyptian man in the field. A man is in the field. David says, look here, this brother is in the field. Help this brother out. Bring him some water. Give him some cakes with some raisin. He needs some help. The man says, look here, I ain't had no food or drink for 3 days and 3 nights. He's struggling. He gets to talking to David. Yeah. My master left me here 3 days ago. Amen. I got sick and my master left me. He told him that we didn't invade the Philistines. We invaded Judah, but we also went to Ziklag and we burned that up with fire.
Come on.
David watched this and said, look here, can you take me where your master's at? Can you show me where he's at? The Egyptian brother said, I can. Egyptian says, I can, but don't kill me. Amen. Watch this, people, God. How you treat people matters. How you treat people matters. We see this Egyptian brother going from being an assistant of the Amalekites, watch this, to an adversary of the Amalekites. Amen. He was an assistant before, but he got sick and they left him dead. Didn't care about what he was doing or how he was sick. Didn't care about none of that. Now David finds him, helps him when he's hurting, and he goes to help David. Be careful how you treat people. Don't look down on nobody. Don't look past nobody. Amen. That person that God sent you to help might be the reason next to your breakthrough. Amen. Might be the person to help you get to the next level, to open the next door, unlock that next key. David could have passed over this Egyptian brother and said, I don't matter. I'm on a war path. I want to get back what I have. But he said, no, let me be kind to him. And because his master was unfaithful to him, he gave him all the information. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat others how you want to be treated. Especially those who have done right by you. Especially. How do you know they've done right by me? Amen. Watch this. Just because you lost me as a friend don't mean you gave me as an enemy. Maturity. Do right by me. Just because you lost me as a friend don't mean you gained me as an enemy. Which means I still can love you. I still can be there for you in the time of need, whatever it may be. But because people don't treat people right, they mess out on what God is trying to do. So he leaves David where the Amalekites are at, y'all. And they Amalekites are celebrating. They got the woman, they got the children, they got all the spoil. They celebrate. They said, look here, we didn't burn down town. We some bad boys, amen. And the Bible says David attacked them from that evening to the next day, amen. From dawn that evening to the next day, which means David continually attacked them. He didn't hold up none of his punishment. So while David was putting pressure on them, watch this, he terrorized them for what they done. He put pressure on them. But look at this, 1 Samuel 30:18-19. David rescued everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, sons or daughters, the loot of anything else they had taken with them. David brought back everything, my God. Woo, y'all missed that. He brought back everything. I know y'all look. David had two eyes. We gotta read y'all Bible. Amen. I can't read everything here. Yeah, David had two eyes. Did God agree with it? No, God didn't agree with it. Amen. Did that guy's will? Some brothers look at me. Man's Monday. The church. We ain't not talking about no two eyes on Man's Monday. Ain't none of us talking about that. That ain't what's going on Man's Monday. But David had two eyes. Read the story, y'all. See why? How he got another wife and all that stuff. But look this out. I love this. He says this. I must give David back everything that was stolen. I must get back everything that was stolen. See, some of us are here today, and because we lost so much time, my God, the enemy took so much time from us, and we feel like we can't get it back. We've lost so much money sometimes, we feel like we can't get it back. We've lost so much peace sometimes, and we feel like we can't get it back. We lost so much influence sometimes, and we can't get it back. But I'm here to tell you today, my God, God will restore what the enemy has stolen. Amen. You better get it for yourself. Amen. That God will restore what the enemy has stolen. Amen. Why would David write this? We've been made endure for a night, my God. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. God said, I will restore your years and all your crops. Amen. I dare you, look at somebody, high five your neighbor and say, I want it all back. Amen. Praise God. I ain't got time. I lost too much. Amen. I want it all back. Amen. Everything the devil took from me, I want it all back. Amen. My hopes and dreams, I want it all back. it all back, amen. My joy and peace, I want it all back, amen. To the devil and anybody else that stole it from me, this is the last time you gonna steal, the last time you gonna take. No, 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 I want it all back. My God redeems time. My God gives back, amen. So right now, I need my power back, amen. Right now, I need my strength back, amen. Right now, I need my wisdom back, amen. I need my anointing back. I need my favor back. I'm not losing nothing else to anything or anybody. I need what God has. You better tell the devil I want it all back.
Right now.
So while David is experiencing this victory, and he's filled with delight, they got it all back.
Thank you, God.
They're blessed. They're wives. Everybody's safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
While he's experiencing this victory and all this delight, y'all, we at the end of the road. Saul was headed toward his defeat and his demise. 1 Samuel 31, 2, 3, and 6. The Philistines caught up to Saul and his sons. They killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchuzah, Saul's sons. The heaviest fighting was against Saul. When the archers got him in their range, he was badly wounded by them. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that day. As I was reading this, I'm struggling. I'm like, man, Samuel told Saul what was going to happen. He didn't even tell his sons. He told him, you and your sons are going to join me now. I got the word of God now. Now, me as a father, I'm looking like this. Well, we all going to join them. Y'all going to be at home. Y'all not coming to the battlefield with me.
Yeah.
I made this mess. Yeah. I sinned against God. I didn't follow his instructions. I chased after David. I was filled with rage and envy and jealousy. I'm not going to have y'all pay that price. So if God takes y'all, he going to take y'all at home. I'm not bringing y'all out here with me. Saul took his sons into battle knowing they would be killed. My God.
Wow.
They wouldn't with him in his rebellion.
Wow.
If y'all remember, recall, Saul aimed a spear at Jonathan. Because he wanted David to be king. So when we on this GPS road, y'all, when you use a GPS, what do? You type in a desired location. And as you travel with your GPS, it's possible that you might miss a turn.
Yeah. Come on.
If you miss your turn, the GPS begins recalculating your line of travel.
Yes.
It will tell you to make a U-turn at the next light or the next street. GPS in this series is the Holy Spirit.
That's it. Jesus.
The Holy Spirit is telling you when you turn the wrong way.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is telling you when you on revenge road. The Holy Spirit is telling you when you on cold-hearted court. Amen. The Holy Spirit is telling you when you on sacrilegious street. Amen. The Holy Spirit is telling you when you on arrogant avenue. The Holy Spirit is telling you when you on devilish drive. The Holy Spirit is telling you when you on wicked way. And if you turn on that street, it begins saying you're busting a U-turn at the next street light or at the next street. It's trying to get you back to where you need to be. But one thing about GPS, the Holy Spirit, eventually, if you keep on ignoring, it's telling you to bust a U-turn. If you keep on ignoring the GPS voice, you can get so far off that there are no more alternative routes. You can get so far away from where your destination is that, like Saul, eventually, there's nowhere to U-turn. There's no way to get back because he's done so much. And we don't like to talk about that. But I got to give y'all a whole counsel of God. Because while there are examples of God's favor, God's grace, God's mercy, and God's blessings, there are examples of rebellion, of wickedness, of hearts that were hard, disobedient to God, and they had to pay a price. Saul, who was Israel's first king? First. Saul, who was anointed by God, didn't make his U-turns. When God sent him David to play for him and get that spirit out of him, that was a U-turn. He didn't take it. When David became his son-in-law, that was a U-turn. He didn't take it. when David became best friends with his son Jonathan. That was a U-turn. He didn't take it. When David caught him in a cave using the bathroom and didn't kill him, that was a U-turn. He didn't take it. Then when David caught him again, he was asleep.
Jesus.
He didn't take it.
Jesus.
And now Saul has killed himself, his sons, and his armor bearer. And the Bible says all his men that were with him, all of them died because of his disobedience. People of God, I'm here today. God said, made it very clear to me today. He just want to know who want to make a U-turn today.
Yeah.
That maybe you've been on this road and you've been ignoring the signs. You've been ignoring what God is saying. But if you can hear my voice today, it ain't too late. Make a U-turn. Get off those streets. Get off those highways. Get off of those off-roads. Get off of them and come back to the Father. Come back. God's so awesome. He sent his son. Woo, Jesus. He sent his son to die in our place. To forgive us for our sins. To give us the opportunity to make a U-turn.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
And as you live your life, guess what? The first U-turn you got to make is coming to Christ. Amen. You got to praise the place.
That's
the first U-turn you got to make. Is give your life to Christ. That's the first. And as you continue to travel on the road, as God is healing you and God is making you whole, and as God is fixing your heart and fixing your mind, you want to make other U-turns along the way.
That's it.
You want to make more. That's just this one.
Yeah.
But you make the first one first. Yeah. This big U-turn that you make makes you listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It makes you hear what God is saying. It gets into your heart. So then when it's time to make other U-turns, it's easier, my God.
Yeah.
You ever had a steering wheel with some play in?
Yeah.
Steering wheel got some play in it. You can whip that mud, right? Yeah, it got some play in it. That's how it is. It's easier to whip back. Because you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So what God is trying to say today, if you need to make a U-turn, you need to give your life to Christ today. Give your life to Jesus. If you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, I'm praying that you say today, God, I need you to be my Lord and Savior, to save my life. Secondly, if you are saved, but you've just been out of the real, you've been out of the community, you've been out of the church, my prayer is you say, you know what, God? I need to make a U-turn to being part of a body of believers. I need to make a U-turn as I'm connected with other people who believe like me, who think like me, who love you like me, so I can continue on this path. And I'm encouraged because when I look out my window, it's easy to get discouraged.
Yeah.
Because it's a world that's not following you. It's a world that's not acknowledging you. It's a world that is not honoring you, oh God. So I don't want to be part of that. So I need to be part of you and a part of your church. Make that U-turn. Rededicate yourself and your life to Christ.
Thank you,
God. Become part of a body.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe you need to be baptized. I don't know. Maybe you're a candidate for baptism. You need to be baptized. And you're ready to make that U-turn. Or maybe you need special prayer. But whatever you stand in need of today, if any of those things I said, let today be your day. We don't want nobody going back home the same way you came. God wants to do something amazing in your life. God wants to show you how real he is. God wants to show you how to heal those broken parts. God wants to show you that you got to make a U-turn. The word says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I can use it. There was a professor at a philosophy class, and a student was there, and he put an orange on his desk. And he said, look here, this orange, is it sweet or is it bitter? Everybody said they don't know. Everybody said some people said it might be sweet, might be bitter. They all have their opinions on what it would be. And they got to one man, and he said, there's only one way you can know if this orange is sweet or bitter. You got to taste and see, my God. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. The only way you're going to find out God is God, that God can heal you, that God can change your life, transform your family, give you a new mind, give you a new heart. The only way you're going to find out for yourself, you got to pick it up. You got to taste and see. The Lord is good. The Lord is sweet. The Lord is everything.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
So did anybody here today, I know, amen, we don't experience forever today. But if you feel God, amen, if God is nudging you, you feel him nudging your heart, nudging you today, amen. Make that decision. Don't. That's part of the GPS. Bible says, don't quench the Spirit. Holy Spirit speaking. Don't try to silence Him. It's not your conscience. It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit pushing. And if He's pushing you, don't quench Him. Don't make Him quiet. We gotta live out loud. The world living out loud. We gotta live out loud. We gotta be bold in our faith. We gotta be confident in who God is and live. And that comes from the power given by the Holy Spirit. So again, if you need to be saved, if you need a church home, if you need to rededicate your life to Christ, or need to be baptized, or you need special prayer, whatever you stand in need of today, people of God, let today be your day. Let today be your day, amen. Whatever that looks like, hallelujah. Just able to do it, amen. Amen, amen, hallelujah. We got a presence in place.
Yes, thank you, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for today. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the word. We thank you, God, for who you are. I pray, oh God, that your word went forth with boldness and clarity, oh God. You touched our hearts, our minds, oh God. It's your Holy Spirit. And that we come to the end of the road with certain things in our life, Father God. We turn to you, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you give us the strength we need, oh God, to be who you called us to be in all things. So we thank you in advance for victory. We thank you in advance for your glory. We thank you in advance for deliverance. We thank you in advance for healing. We thank you in advance for restoration. We thank you in advance for giving us back, oh God, what was stolen. We thank you in advance, oh God. We believe that you're going to do it, oh God. So we stand on you and your word and your uncompromising and unchanging hands, oh God. And we give glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen,
amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.